I want you to think about something this morning. How beautiful heaven is. I want you to think about the snow we've had this week. I mean, there at the house, I measured it. I actually couldn't wear these glasses because I was wearing a face mask and it caused them to fog up. So I went out there and I looked at the tape measure and I couldn't read it. So I went back in the shop and grabbed me a pair of them spectacles. That's what I used to wear. Daddy used to tell me, he'd say, son, them will do for a while. But he said, after a while, you'll have to have some glasses. Amen. We had 7 inches. I like what one preacher said years ago. He said, even an old junkyard's pretty under the snow. That's all my life was an old junkyard. But thank God for the blood of Jesus that washed it white as snow. Amen. Do you all understand this? This might be the last service on this side we ever sit in. Boy, wouldn't it be good if everybody treated it as such. I have no promise of being here Wednesday night, and you don't either. And we don't know but what our King won't come between now and Wednesday night. So I want to encourage you to mind the Lord. Amen. Mind the Lord. I'm going to put a picture up here this morning on the wall. I want to tell you a little story. Can everybody see the picture okay? You see it? Well, what I want you to do for just a moment before I read the scripture, I want you to just look at it. And I want you to be thinking about how in the world could God take that and birth a message, take a picture like that. I was just looking out the window and birth a message in your pastor's heart. I have a table and a desk up in my shop. And I was sitting there reading, Brother Brummett, and meditating and whispering to the Lord these words, God, I don't know what my people need, but God, you do. Lord, would you show me? And that went on for about 45 minutes. And I just stood to take a little break and turned around and looked out the window. And God smote my heart. Now, how many think she even might have an idea about what I'm preaching about this morning? Anybody? You're afraid, ain't you? You're afraid to go out on that limb, amen. Sister Diane said something about the snow, okay. And in a way it is. Anybody else got an idea? You got an idea, Sister Diane? I can't hear. The cross? Oh, okay, like where the timbers come together? No, that's not it, but that's a good idea. Sister Kim, do you and Maggie recognize anything in that picture? You see, you do, Maggie? What is it, honey? Steve, holler at me. The swing set, right. The timber's all different, Maggie, because y'all's timber rotted. And they had Brother Gary Musselman to disassemble the swing set and lay it out at the curb. And Brother Gary told me, he said, there's a bunch of swings. And he said, there's a sliding board. He said, it's all laying out at the curb up there at Brother Brian's. He said, if you wanted to build the young'uns a swing set, and boy, my wheels went to turning, amen. I mean, I got the Odell swings in my backyard. I got the Odell Windus in my deer stand. Amen. And I can't go nowhere and get away from them Odels. Amen. But I want to tell you how God birthed this message in my heart. And then we're going to... let me read a verse of Scripture. I'll read just one to start with. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. And verse number 1. Thank you again for being here today. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I'll read some more verses in a little bit, but right now I'll just read verse number 1. I'm going to tell you how this was birthed in my heart. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I want to ask you something. You think it would have been good yesterday for my grandchildren to be sitting in that snowy swing, sliding down that snowy side, slide, jumping in that snow-covered pool? I was kidding Carly when she was talking about being baptized today. I said, I'll put some ice cubes in the baptistry for you. And then I did make sure I put just kidding. Amen. In other words, beloved, listen to me carefully. It's not the season to swim. It's not the season to swing. That's the slide. If you look to the left there, going down the other side of the deck, that's the slide that my grandson lost his teeth on. Because Brother Rick, he's like me and you, he won't listen. I told him not to go up the slide backwards, you know, and he just, and we told him, we warned him, and Miss Eve and I turned our back, and the next thing we heard, he was squalling. He went right down, face planted on that slide, and come up missing two teeth. And he didn't even learn after that. He went to Cedar View Christian School the week after that, was climbing on top of the gym set out there, fell and busted another one out. Amen. He ain't had no teeth since he was 3 years old. Amen. But the Scripture said, and God very plainly spoke to my heart, it's not swimming season. It's not swinging season. It's skiing season right now. Amen. And God spoke to my heart about this Scripture. And then I've never done this before. I went to the Scripture and started searching some of the seasons that God speaks about in the Scripture. And I hope and pray to God that what He's given me to share with you this morning will be a blessing in your heart and in your life. Brother Steve Lyons, would you pray for the service and pray for me this morning, brother, please? Yes, our Lord. Please, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. God's good to us, isn't He? I don't know what I'd do without Him. I don't know how I ever made it 27 years without Him, except to say by the grace of God. The Bible said to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. I want you to notice as we read down through these verses this morning, the contrast that are being made. It's almost like they're opposites. The Bible said a time to be born and a time to die. You know, we rejoice when they're born, and we mourn when they die. And actually, from the Christian side of things, that's a little bit backwards. When a Christian dies, my, how we ought to rejoice. I've got a funeral tomorrow night. A precious lady that I used to pastor years ago called yesterday and wanted to know if I'd come. I said, always. We'll serve the family any way we can. But I'm glad this dear lady left a good testimony. And I rejoice, amen, to be able to have a little part in her service. I rejoice that I know where she is. There's a time to pluck up, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Now also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Finally, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Brother Jerry, he didn't write that name in that book for time. He wrote it in that book for eternity. If God's ever saved you, you're saved forever. Amen. God's gift is eternal life. It's everlasting life. The Bible said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. I wish those that are wanting to write a new Bible every week would read that verse. We believe God did this. Amen. And you can't put anything to it. And you can't take anything away from it. By the way, it's dangerous. Read the last chapter in the book of Revelation. It's dangerous to mess with God's word. The Bible gives us a verse that says it's forever settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. Nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Let's get into the message this morning. I'm not going to try to be lengthy, but I'm going to take my time. Is that all right? And give you what God has put in my heart as I thought about the seasons. It's going to be, this is January, February, March, April, probably the last part of May. And right outside that window where I took that picture, there's going to be grandbabies, Brother Jack. Here's what they're going to say. You say, how do you know? I know. Papaw, swing me. It's going to be swinging season. Amen. And it ain't going to be just a week or two after that. And they're going to get on their little bathing suits. Amen. And they're going to run up them steps. They're going to jump off of that deck. It's only 4 foot of water. But you'd think it's the ocean to them. Amen. I mean, they have a ball in that water. Every once in a while they talk Papaw into getting in there with them. Amen. And I tell you, the season's not here yet, but the season's coming. There's seasons in our life that we need to pay attention to. And God said, to everything there is a season. The first mention of the word season is found in Genesis 1:14. A season is a space and time. Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. God only gets 14 verses into the Word of God, and He mentions a season. I think we ought to pay attention, amen, to what God is saying in His Word. And by the way, the climate alarmists alarmist that's out there protesting and all that. I'd say some of them, beloved, listen, had a battery-powered car, and they figured out this week that it won't run in the cold. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't, you will in a minute. Amen. Listen to what the Word of God said. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I'm not going to lay awake at night, beloved, wondering how much ice is melting somewhere or how much the water is rising somewhere, because I know the one that's in control of it all. Say amen. And the Word of God said, while the earth remaineth. You say, why did it say it like that? Because, beloved, this earth one day is going to melt with fervent heat. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But God's got this. Amen. And God wants us to understand that. He said, the one that talked about the seasons. I'm not going to say a lot about this. But my grandfather was he was a farmer. And he was a big believer in the signs. And a lot of people don't pay no attention to that. They think it's a bunch of malarkey. Well, I'm going to tell you what taught me to pay attention to it. Building a fence. I built a fence the first time in my house. I didn't pay no attention to nothing. And I'm telling you, for 10, 15 years, you could walk up and down my driveway in those four-by-fours. Now listen to me. They had concrete around them. And you could take them and do it like that. And so I started listening to my grandpa a little bit as my memory went back. He said, son, there's a time to build fence. And there's a time not to build fence. He said, there's a time to put that fence post in the ground and it'll be tight. There's no concrete around these. I put them in the ground in the sign. And they're so tight, I believe they'd stop a tractor and trailer if they didn't break it off. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, my grandpa went out one day and he hollered at his neighbor. He said, you're not planting those potatoes in the signs. And my neighbor said, I know it. I'm planting them in the ground. That's the way we do. Amen. But the Bible said right there, night and day, and let them be for signs and for seasons. I believe there's a time to plant. I believe there's a time to harvest. Amen. And God said it. I didn't say it. But my wife is always looking for that farmer's almanac calendar. Amen. She wants to know when you're supposed to plant that and when you're supposed to plant that. And we do. There's a season. There's a space and time that God give us, and that season's forever. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. He started it in the beginning. Let me give you the second thing that God's got on my heart today. Not only is there a season in this first mention in the Word of God that God made, but there was a season to get out of Egypt. The Bible tells us, beloved, listen, that there was a time when God gave them a distinct season to get out of Egypt. Several months to get Israel out of Egypt, but 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Amen? And we see even at that, Achan still had some Egypt in him when they got over there in the Promised Land. That's why he buried that Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold in his tent, amen, and it brought judgment upon the people of Israel. The Bible said, beloved, there's a season. Egypt in the Word of God is a type of a sinful life. I'm telling you, beloved, your season was at 9 years old, Brother Jason. You was testifying a while ago. But thank God there was a God that was patient and long-suffering and merciful. And my season come along, beloved, when 6.5 years of church membership and 6.5 years of religion and 6.5 years of trying come to an end. You say, why? The Bible said in John chapter 5 and verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. How many's glad God come by where you's a living and troubled the water? Amen. That's called conviction, amen, in our heart, in our life. And when God troubles the water, it's time, beloved, to get out of Egypt and get in where the Lord is, amen. The Bible said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Lord chose by the foolishness of preaching. Thank God I live in America, and thank God I live in a place in America where men are not afraid to preach the Word of God. I'm glad my pastor stood that night and didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, but told me what I needed to hear. You must be born again. The Bible said, listen to this, Acts 24, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. There's a whole lot of people, beloved, that will not pay attention to the troubling of the water, the troubling in their heart. And that, let me say this to you this morning. Nobody ever woke up one morning and said, you know what, I think I'll go to hell today. I think everybody has good intentions. Everybody, beloved, listen, the devil never tell anybody not to be saved. He just says, not now. Isn't it amazing that it's just the opposite of what God said? God said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. But the devil tell people, you got plenty of time. And none of us know, beloved, how much time we have. A season to get out of Egypt. Felix said, I have a convenient time. I'll call for thee. He hoped also, the next verse tells you where his heart was. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. He wasn't wanting to know the way of God. He was hoping to get a little bit more cash in his pocket. Amen. You see, beloved, another convenient season. Thank God there was a story in the Bible in Philemon about Onesimus. The Bible said, for perhaps he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. There was a season in the life of Onesimus where he stole from his master and he ran down to Rome. But guess what? He run out of season. Run into the Apostle Paul, amen. Run into the Scripture. Run into the Gospel. And he got saved by the grace of God. And God had Paul write a letter and had Onesimus carry it back to Philemon. And he said, listen, if he owes you anything, hallelujah, put that on my account, amen. You and I owed a sin debt. Thank God for a God in heaven that put that on the account of our Lord Jesus, amen. There's a season to get out of Egypt. There's a season to be saved. There's a fruitful season. The Bible said, beloved, in the book of Psalms, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Listen to this. Which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe a lot of people don't understand this, but there'll come a day, amen, just like there did with Brother Don McCann, when we can't bear the fruit that we used to bear, amen. I'm telling you, thank God we can be in that fruitful season. Thank God, beloved, listen, we can pay attention. John 15 said there's no fruit. There's people with no fruit. There's people with fruit. There's people with more fruit. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God wants us to be fruitful as the children of God. The Bible said in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I wonder this week, do we have a soul on our mind, or more than one soul on our mind? Are we praying for somebody that's lost? One thing I love about praying for the lost, you never have to wonder if you're praying in the will of God. Because, beloved, it's his will that every one of them be saved by the grace of God. Amen. There's a fruitful season that God wants us to pay attention to. And then, beloved, there's a suffering season. In the book of Luke, I want you to listen to this. This is speaking of our Lord. Luke chapter 20 and verse number 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard,
and he led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen, that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I shall send my beloved son. Hallelujah. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. What God is leading me to say, beloved, listen, you can't talk about suffering without first talking about a Savior that left this world, his heaven, and come into this world, beloved, knowing that he was headed to an old rugged cross. And Jesus has given them a parable about the suffering that's going to take place in his life. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a trial, very seldom do I think it's precious. Very seldom am I thinking about gold, amen, and how precious that trial is. We have to get our nose back in this book and get back on our knees and realize we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. And if it's a season of suffering, he's up to something in our life. He's making us more like him. Amen. He's bringing us to a place where we can help somebody else in life, where we can be empathetic to somebody else in life. Amen. And understand what they're going through. The trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Beloved, listen to me this morning. God's people are going to suffer. The Bible said we would. Amen. And there's this outfit's on television telling you otherwise, lying to you. They're not preaching the whole counsel of God. Job had sense enough to know, man that's born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble. But I'm glad the days are going to give way to eternity one day after a while. And God's people, trouble's going to be left behind. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Now for a season. Listen to Hebrews 11. I love this. I want you to think about this. Old Moses could have had it made. But the Bible said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. You see, beloved, Moses, he chose a season of suffering over a season of sin. You think about that for just a minute. He knew, beloved, listen, that either one of those seasons was going to be short. But thank God, he knew the Savior would take care of him. Amen. And thank the Lord that he did. There's a season that we know that the suffering will be over. But for right now, beloved, we're in a world that's turned upside down on its head. But thank God, God knows what we need. God knows when we need it. Let me give you a couple more things this morning. There's another season that I found in the Word of God. And that's a season when the enemy, y'all know we have an enemy, don't you? We've actually got three that I can think of real quick. The devil's not your friend, he's your enemy. The world's not your friend, it's your enemy. I remember a story years ago about the lady that got upset at the preacher. That's never happened to me. But anyway, there's a woman got upset with the preacher. And she told the preacher after church, she said, I just wish some way that you would just stop preaching on all those things. And he said, well, if you'll come back tonight, I'll see what we can do about that. So she came back. He read his text. It said, love not the world, neither the, he emphasized it, things that are in the world. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's nothing wrong with having things. Thank God the baby's got a place to swing, a place to slide. There's a rock climbing wall on the other side of that where you got little plastic things where they can climb a rock. They can have a good time. They've got bicycles. They've got stuff they can ride. They got a basketball goal. But let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with having things. But there's something real wrong with things having you. And that's where a lot of people are in this world. Their things has got them. Amen. I told my wife coming to church not long after we got in the truck, my truck is absolutely covered up with salt. Well, Chevrolets don't need any encouragement to rust. I mean to tell you, beloved, they don't need any encouragement. Amen. One man said, there'll be no Chevys in heaven. Somebody said, why? He said, because the rust will not enter in. Amen. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to have to get that salt off of my truck. And she suggested that I run it through a car wash at zero temperature. I doubt many of them are open. Amen. But I'll get it off there. One of the good things to do would just be park it out in the rain this week. That'll take care of the top. Amen. Then I'll have to spray underneath a little bit and get the salt off of it. There's seasons in our life where we need to come to the Lord and let Him get some stuff off of us. Amen. It's going to cause us to rust. Amen. It's going to cause us to rust. There's another season here, a couple more and I'm done. There's a season when the enemy knows he's whooped. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you understand that when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, that he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit of God led him out there because the Bible wanted to give us this truth. I saw something, Brother Larry, yesterday I've never seen before. Should have. I've read it over and over and over. But the Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That's Scripture, amen. Every time the devil came to Jesus, Jesus' response started like this. It is written. It is written. It is written. But what I didn't see before, the Bible said in Luke 4:13, and when the devil had ended, notice this word, all the temptation. I've actually preached before, beloved, that everything that we'll face in the area of temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, everything we will face in temptation in this world falls under those three. Amen? And Jesus suffered it all. But I've never seen that ended all the temptation. All. Jesus withstood it all. He departed from him. Does anybody know the next three words? For a season. You say, Pastor, why do you think the devil departed for a season? Because he knew he was whooped. He knows he can handle you. He knows he can handle me. But he also knows this. He can't handle the Word of God. Jesus, our Savior, used the Word of God on him. There'll be a season when the enemy is whooped for good. The Bible said in Revelation 23, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be finished. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Never forget when I saw the truth that even after 1,000 years of perfect peace, it's not peace because everybody wants to be peaceful. It's peace because Jesus is sitting on the throne of David and he's ruling with a rod of iron. Not everybody wants to do the right thing. You say, how do you know? Because after 1,000 years, the devil's loose. He goes throughout the earth and he gathers him up another army to come against the Lord and His people. And the Bible said when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And when they went up the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a time when he's whooped for a season in your life and in my life and the life of the Savior. But honey, just around the corner. You say, why is the devil so busy today? He knows better than we know. His time is short. Amen. And not only is he going to be whooped for a season, but he's going to be whooped for eternity. Amen. And going to that place where he belongs. The last thing in the message today, I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But the Bible talks about a season of rest for God's people. In Revelation 6, the Bible said, and white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that shall be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Revelation 14:13 said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I think about that verse of Scripture. Brother Rick, I think about your mom. She was tormented the last year, year and a half of her life. She was literally tormented. My phone rang one morning and Brother Rose said, Pastor Barbara's gone. The first thing I said to Brother Rose, I said, Brother Rose, she'll not be tormented anymore. I believe with all of my heart that woman loved Jesus and knew Jesus. Honey, let me tell you something. These things up here, they just go sideways sometimes. Amen. If you've ever been around someone, beloved, you understand that this is just as much a part of the body as your finger and your foot. Thank God there's a rest. Thank God there's a rest. The Bible said there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that season. This last line in the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, it said, this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell. Farewell, sweet hour of prayer. I tell you, there are a lot of seasons in our life. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. That's not talking about the way this world dances either. Amen. Brother John R. Rice said, a praying knee and a dancing foot don't grow on the same leg. Amen. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. I hollered at my wife last night. You'd understand if you saw our basement why when I read the scripture I hollered at my wife. You see, I have a barn and I have a building. And about every 3 years, Brother Grizzle, something's got to go. You get to the point where there's just a narrow path through it. Amen. You accumulate stuff. I need to keep that. I need to keep that. And I hollered at my wife last night. I was trying to give her a little hint. There's a time to... The Bible said here, a time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time when you ain't got no places like at your house, do you? Amen. You ain't got no places, amen. How many's got stuff you don't need anymore, amen? Well, just bring it on over to my house. Miss Eve will take it, amen. I love my wife, amen. But I'm telling you what's the truth. There is a time to keep and a time to get rid of some stuff. I'm always afraid, and it seems like it works this way. Brother John, you'll move something for 5 years. You kept it for 5 years. And you decided to clean up. You throw it away. Next week you need it. Boy, I tell you, it just don't work right sometimes. Amen. But there's a time. There's a season. I want to share a song with you before we go, and we'll have a time of invitation. You can come after this song, Brother Dale, and we'll have a time of invitation. But I want you to know, if you're here today and you're a child of God, I believe this song ought to be special to you. The choir used to sing it at Liberty Baptist. I'd love for our choir to learn it and sing it sometime. In the recording, you'll hear some popping and cracking. I think they've taken the music and the song off of an album somewhere, because it reminded me of my mom's albums back home. I ain't that old. Mom was, but I'm not. Amen. And I want you to listen to it. Brother Richard, go ahead and listen to this. There's a season of rest coming. But Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. Let's be careful not to be resting too much now when there's work to be done. Amen. There's work to be done. I love that old song, we'll work till Jesus comes. Come on, Brother Dale, let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for the privilege just to glean a little bit about a few of these seasons that you've set forth in the Word of God. Lord, I watched my grandchildren.
those little ones, how carefree, how worry-free they are. I remember the days, my little train set, my little Batman pajamas. I can remember those days, Lord, when I didn't have a care in the world. Mom and Dad took care of everything. And now, Lord, we've committed our life to a Heavenly Father, believing, Lord, that You will take care of us. God, there's so many concerns along the way, so many burdens to bear. God, we dare not try to bear them alone. I pray, dear Father, that as God's people have gathered here this cold winter day, God, that You'd warm our hearts, that You'd help us to understand, Lord, that, Lord, there is a season when You trouble the waters. And, Lord, not to run from that, but to run to it. God, I pray, Lord, that You would help us as Your people to live for You, to look for You, lean on You, Lord, till You come. Take us home. God, I don't know what Your youngins need. I just know, Lord, I've delivered what You give me. Thank God, Lord, it won't be winter all year. Springtime will come. Lord, I thought about the sunrise service after You dealt with my heart. Easter being the last of March this year. There may be 6 inches of snow on the ground Easter morning. But Lord, spring's coming. Then Lord, summer's coming. Then fall's coming. But Lord, none of us. You said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. None of us know. We just know, Lord, that You're the one that said, the seasons will just keep going long as the earth remaineth. I'm glad, Lord, for Carly this morning and Lord, the many others that's been baptized in the last month or so. Glad You're still working in hearts. There's still a season when the waters are troubled. There's still those, Lord, that are stepping down into that water by faith, trusting Jesus as their Savior. I pray, Lord, now You'll help us in this invitation just to be sensitive to the Spirit of God as He speaks to our heart. Let's stand together this morning.